Riddle Me That is brought to you by Anchor, the easiest way to make a podcast. Use creation tools right from your phone and your computer, and Anchor will distribute your podcast to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. And it's free. And now, your host, Alex Riddle.
What is up, everybody? You're tuning into the Riddle Me That podcast with your host, Alex Riddle. On today's episode, we're going to be diving into week two of the NFL along with week three of college football. A lot of grossness this weekend, a gross slate. But that's the great thing about the show. There's always a new slate. So slate looks a little better this week for the NFL. So we'll also be talking about the upcoming games this weekend. And then we also got our Fichtner Cup week three preview along with our week two results. Lots of shots fired in the Fichtner Cup chat. We love that. It's good for media. Lots to talk about today in the fantasy world. Let's get after it. Riddle Me That is brought to you by PointsBet. If you haven't done so already, use this code YOUNGCS13. That's YOUNG, the letters CS13. If you put that code into PointsBet and you are a new user, you get two risk-free bets, one standard bet, one points bet. You don't even have to go in. You can do it off your phone like any other local gambling venue. Let me just start off by saying today that I just felt like last weekend was one of the most disgusting slates all around for college football and NFL. And it's like ironically the one weekend where all the boys are just jacked up. Like I was getting texts on Friday. Oh, I'm so horned up for the slate tomorrow. Oh, man, like where are we betting now? Let's hit all our bets. You know, and that does get you jacked up. You're like, let's just like, you know, how Big Cat from Barstool always says, like, you know, he tweets out Saturday morning with his donuts. He goes like, what if we just win every bet today? But there's some, like, for some reason when you like say those words, like, you know it's just going to be an awful day. Like, you're going to lose every bet. But you do go down with the boys. It was a pretty fun weekend watching sports. That's pretty much all we did. I mean, that's what we do every weekend. We usually, you know, we try to fit in, like, a brunch. But it was pretty much all sports. It was just gross. And so, I want to start with the Saturday college football slate. So it started off, you know, the boys took Georgia, you know, 25.5. That's what I got it at. You know, easiest bet of all time. You know, the two times I've taken Georgia to cover, 16 versus Oregon. So they've done it like I'm like, wow, they're going to win 60-0, right? And so you're just like, wow, I think Georgia's on that next level. If there's anything I've learned, that Georgia's the best team in the country. Can they be stopped? I mean, I've yet to see a team I think that can hang with that team. And even, you know, I guess Bama. But, you know, they didn't look great against Texas, but maybe Texas is just that good this year. It was that, you know, Texas did look pretty solid, but Bama did not look like the normal Bama team they were used to seeing. So, but, you know, South Carolina, not Texas, but Georgia took care of business. Okay, great start to the day. But then we get to the Holman parlay. You know, Holman loves to draft up these nasty, nasty parlays where he just clicks buttons. But sometimes that's the way to go. I've definitely probably won more Holman parlays than I have in my normal parlays. You know, my thought out, like, oh, this just has to be a lock. Right? So Holman crafts up this parlay. And I'm not even going to, you know, I think we had Buffalo plus 12 or 13. I think that cash. We had Purdue money line. I'll get into that in a second. We had Georgia Tech plus 17, who got fucking wrecked. But, you know, it doesn't matter once I tell you what happened. And then, you know, we had two more picks that I think one cash, one didn't. Gross parlay. But, you know, we were in it. We were alive for a couple hours, which is, you know, more than we can say than usual. So Purdue versus Syracuse, just a devastating loss to really lose the mojo we had after Georgia. We were using Georgia to, you know, like, cover up the parlay, which it did. But, you know, we really wanted the parlay, obviously. And so Purdue at Syracuse, you know, pretty gross game. But Purdue should win this game. They have O'Connell, who's one of the top quarterbacks in the Big Ten, in my opinion, with a sloppy Purdue team. I feel like if he had actual weapons, he'd be fucking balling out this year. But they had this huge tight end on Purdue who just dominated. Moral story, Purdue ends up scoring a touchdown, going up by 5, okay, with 50 seconds left. Now, may I remind you that during the extra point, there was an unsportsmanlike for the Purdue player that just scored a touchdown. So he got enforced on the kickoff. So Purdue had to kick off from their own 15-yard line. 15? I've never seen this before. I was like, is this a joke? Right? So, of course, we can't even get them back in their part of the field. Syracuse then, you know, gets the kickoff. He kicks as far as he can. Gets the midfield. You know, a good, pretty solid Syracuse offense. They're at home. Crowd's going crazy. So now they have 45 seconds left at the 50-yard line compared to, you know, at their own 20, which makes a huge difference. It's only 50 seconds left. So what does Purdue do? You know, it's third and, like, you know, Purdue actually stops them. It's third and 10. Incomplete pass, Purdue. 5 seconds after, hold. Fucking holding call. And then we saw the replay. It was just the worst call I've ever seen. Like, I've never seen more flags thrown in one day than in my whole life. And I'm not trying to be like that guy where it's like, oh, my team's losing and I'm going to blame the refs. But, I mean, we went on Twitter. We weren't alone. I mean, this was absurd, these calls. So Purdue's getting, these redos. They then throw one, you know, Purdue throws one, another stop. They called, you know, defensive pass interference and, you know, barely grazed. It's like, wow. So now Purdue or Syracuse gets down the field with pretty much off of penalties. 12 seconds left, unbelievable 37-yard touchdown. Like we knew we were screwed. It literally looked like a script. But, you know, that really put a damper in the day. I just feel like, you know, college football right now seems to be more flags than I've ever seen. And it sucks because you're like, wow, like, we're on the losing end of those. But it just slows down the game. I mean, every play is reviewed. The refs have to they ref throws a flag and then they're discussing for like 30 seconds as if like, wait, what? Why are they discussing it? They throw the flag, just say what you're going to say. I feel like the game loses a little integrity when it's literally every play is it's something. But that being said, you know, if we had Syracuse, we'd be balling out. Wouldn't say one thing about the refs probably. So enough about the refs, but that did damper the mood on Saturday. And then it just got gross, you know, BYU at 3, losing by 20. To Oregon. I guess Oregon's good. Georgia's just that good. And then at night, there was... What was the night game? Oh, God. It was Miami, Texas A&M. I was on the Miami train. 9 trips to the red zone. 9 trips. 3 field goals. I mean, I've never heard of a stat like that. I mean, you're 3 for 9. You went to the red zone 9 times. They lost 17-9. Versus the Texas A&M team, their defense looked pretty good, but not really if you're going to the red zone 9 times. Offense was terrible. Miami should have won that game. And so it was just one of those days in college football, though, where, shout out to Luke Mitchell. You know, I saw on the action, cashed all his bets, so he's probably like, oh, college football is the best. You know, a lot of these high spreads are winning. You know, like Ohio State 35.5, shout out Lauderdaddy, took that, won by 50. It's just a weird time. The smart thing, I guess, would be, like, not to bet on college football right now because it's just you don't know. And all these – but, like, you just know if you take – I mean, not betting college football is not an option. Let me repeat that. I mean, we're going to battle. We're battling. But I'm just saying, yeah, you don't really know anything about these teams yet. So you're going in there and they're just – your teams are still looking sloppy. And so, I mean, realistically for any sport, right, if you're – truly want to succeed in the betting world, you probably have to wait 5-6 weeks to see like some trends, right? I mean, you say that and you do that, it doesn't work either, but I feel like that's probably the smart way to go. Because right now, it's just college football's all over the place, like a lot of blowout games, like tough games to watch. Like that BYU game was just over, like you could just tell they weren't going to score. Like, you know, I feel like there is just a huge, you know, in a college football, and it takes like 4 or 5 weeks to round it out. Like, there's just a huge discrepancy in, like, play level from the top teams and the bottom teams. You know, there's, like, you know, there's, like, the top teams, like the Georgia, Bama's. But then there's, like, you know, even, like, the top, 15 teams, right? They're such on a different level than the teams below. And then, you know, it home field, definitely the crowd. Some crowds just get, like, they're so much louder than others. And that definitely plays a factor. But then, you know, you have those teams that love that. You have teams that are, you just, you know, from trying to predict who's going to win, you don't know what's inside the locker room. So some teams are just better equipped to handle big crowds. And, like, how would you know that? Right? So it just, you know, college football was just, I besides that Purdue heartbreaker, which actually was a great game, there wasn't a lot of good games on Saturday. So I think we're still trying to figure, oh, Michigan State, Washington. That's the last one, right? My God, everyone's on Michigan State, so you know it's a trap. You're like, why is your team ranked 12th and you're plus three at Washington unranked? You know, Penix from IU looked great. Washington looked amazing. Michigan State looked like frauds, right? But, you know, maybe Washington's just that good. Maybe they're totally, you know, they haven't played anybody the first two games, so they were totally off the map. You didn't know they were that good. You couldn't tell if their wins against the bad teams were fraud wins or are they actually that good. So Washington's good. But just games like that, you're like, wow, like Michigan State got clobbered. It was not even close. Washington could not be stopped in offense. I don't think I saw. And they were like going for it. That's the last thing I'll say. In college football, my God, Mississippi State went for it on 4th and 1 at their own 20. 0-0 in the first quarter. Teams are going for it on 4th down. Like, wow, is that defense that bad? And then don't even get me started with the kicking. I mean, college kicking, a 37-yarder feels like a 50-yarder. I've never seen worse. Is it always been this bad? Have college kickers always been this bad? I mean, I'm just saying it is bizarre. I mean, you are like, and they are shanking kicks, right? So maybe that, I mean, that's why you probably see the 4th downs being go for more. But coaches are like, wow, kicking has declined. It's like, is that a thing? Does kicking just go, like, come and go? Is there a wave of good kickers? And sometimes they're just the class that just sucks at kicking. Because it is like, wow, like, I mean, we watched that Florida State game on Friday, which they somehow won. Don't ask me how, but Florida State won. But they missed 2 35-yard field goals, like huge misses, and they still somehow recovered. But like those are huge misses. Texas the other week missed a 20-yarder against Alabama, wasn't even touched. Like, unacceptable in my opinion. But that shows if you have a job in the NFL, which kicking actually seemed pretty good so far, besides a couple blocked extra points. I feel like kicking in the NFL is, you know, you're like, wow, substantial difference. Like, you like, I'm comfortable with McManus daddy coming out and nailing 50-yarders like it's for breakfast. Like, if a college kicker comes out for a 50-yarder, I might as well just close my eyes and, you know, say a prayer, because, you know, I'm shaking at a 35-yard field goal. You know, nonetheless, I mean, it's just like, wow, like, it's horrendous. I mean, I might change my career path and try to be a, you know, a kicker. You know, I'm sure I can take kicking lessons somewhere and then, you know, just, you know, pull an I am Carlos, you know, written in red crayon, slip the ref a 10, and I'm in. Well, enough of college football. You know, there's week 3 of college ball, like, there's nothing going on yet. I mean, college football doesn't matter until, you know, 7 or 8 weeks from now when, you know, we're deciding who's playing in the conference championship. But I will say it is, you know, it gives us something to do on Saturdays, you know, to watch sports again instead of fucking watching baseball all day. Which, don't get me wrong, baseball playoffs coming up, I'm ready to go. You know, I mean, it's just one of those things that, you know, I'd rather, at least if I'm going to lose my bets, I'd rather at least watch it a good game and, like, a little bit faster pace, more action. You know, if they can get me through a weekend, that's fun to do. I enjoy that. But to Sunday, you know, again, worst week 2 of NFL can't be a worse slate. I mean, those were some of the worst games I've ever seen. Some of the worst games I've ever seen in the NFL. I guess we're not going to do a break for the NFL semi. I'm just going to hop right into it because it's just, you know, I feel like it just combines with the slop of the college football. There's not too many memorable things I saw this weekend from anything, really. Besides fantasy, which we'll get into in the Fit Cup Pod segment. Fit Cup Pod, that's funny. I like that, Fit Cup Pod. NFL on Sunday was just, you know, same thing. You get on the couch,
you know, hour before, you're like, oh, you're like, no Matthew Berry, but Field Yates will do. Threw on a little Entourage. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Been obsessed with Entourage lately. But, you know, for that hour, you're just like, oh, like, nothing can stop me now. Like, ain't nobody stop me now. That's a Vince Gaudio throwback. Heart of a champion. That used to get me going in basketball. Basketball layup lines used to be like, I'd be like, oh, like, what song's coming on today? Like, I'm making layups. Maybe pop a mid-range and get the crowd going a little bit. Oh, nothing like that. Where am I going with this? Well, yeah, that hour before NFL on Sundays is just magical. Because you can't do anything wrong. You can't do anything wrong. You're just invincible until the noon strikes, you know, and fantasy matchups begin, bets begin, you're like, oh God. And so for me, I had like, you know, I tailed my boy Lauderdale. I had like a $10 free bet, you know, bought all these points for all these teams. But it doesn't even matter because we had the Commanders +7.5. They were just dreadful against the Lions. They almost actually backdoored. But we also had Colts money line, like, getting smoked by Jacksonville. You know, we just our games weren't even like close. That was over in like 20 minutes. I bet on the Panthers. That's like my one bet. They were like +108 when I got them. They ended up going to like -116. So I'm like, oh, I'm like, line flip, cash. Nope. Panthers should have won. They went up by a touchdown, and then immediately let up a score, and then just looked terrible down the stretch. Baker's a fraud. Panthers are just disgusting. Don't bet on the Panthers. Even though, you know, they're 0-2 at home this week, they'll probably win. But, I mean, the Rams won, you know, for Survivor, for the big Survivor League we're all in. But they almost blew it. And you know, they did blow my 4.5. I had Rams 4.5 in a parlay. I mean, the Bengals lost, it didn't matter. But that stupid safety, the Rams won by 4. Rams were up like 21 with no time left. Falcons just score, force a fumble, you know, almost score again. So that was getting weird. A block punt, touchdown for Falcons. So that was just disgusting. Don't even get me started on the Jets, J-E-T-S, Jets. Somehow beating the Browns. And all Nick Chubb had to do was go down the 1 yard line. Couldn't do it. You know, Jets score, onside kick, score, win by 1. I mean, that's just, if that's not sexy, I don't know what is. But Jacoby Brissett and the Browns choke city. I mean, what's new? It's just terrible coaching. The Chiefs game on Thursday. Oh my God, Chiefs Chargers. That was actually a great game. That, you know, you thought once you saw that, I mean, that should have been like the Sunday night game instead of the Bears Packers, where we all know what happened there. We still think the refs had something to do with that one. They usually do, but you know, we can't say anything because we suck and we're back to our sucking ways. But Chargers-Chiefs, that was a close game. Chiefs completely coming back after the drop pick by the Chargers. But the Chargers did come back and cover. A miraculous +4 cover for the Chargers after Herbert broke his ribs mid-game. Still had that last drive in him to cover the spread for the boys. But then things, you know, we got to Sunday. You know, Tom Brady went to New Orleans and got a dub. Somehow it was disgusting, but the Bucs defense definitely saved that one. Definitely the game of the day was Arizona and Vegas. Sorry, not that's disrespectful. Vegas. Vegas completely imploding against Arizona. It was double XP weekend, though, so we thought the Cardinals would be frauds. They were at first until the fans decided to pop champagne in the crowd. Some randos just popping champagne in the third quarter once they thought they won. Cardinals come back. Murray, the star of the show, obviously. I mean, no receivers. If AJ Green's your best receiver, you got problems. I guess Hollywood Brown is, but he hasn't done anything yet. But Murray leads the comeback, get to overtime, force a fumble out of Hunter Renfro, Hunter v. Wade, shout out Walls, house it for a TD. Almost doesn't bring the ball across the end zone. I don't know if you guys were watching, they actually had to review that, but he did. Cardinals get the dub. Definitely a fun, you know, definitely the best game I saw in yesterday's slate. All that atrocity. Oh, Patriots. Shout out Cole Neater getting a dub at Pittsburgh. Gross game, but, you know, solid Bill Belichick scheming. Actually, a huge win at Pittsburgh, who beat the Bengals week one. So, you know, Patriots are back. They're always going to be around. They're a gross team. But, you know, they look gross, and then Bill Belichick figures it out. They know how to finish out the game. They slid. You know, they knew the clock. Bill Belichick knows Kevin Stefanski should check in. The Browns obviously just don't want to win. And then, yeah, the Colts, as I already said, getting fucking blown out, shut out against the Jags. Are the Jags back? I don't know about that. But definitely, and you know, and then obviously the Packers, Bears finish it off. Bears actually in it for a little bit, but just couldn't handle Rodgers for most of the game. Offense was, you know, blah in the middle of it. And then they actually had a good drive. Fields almost in the end zone. Controversial finish. End up losing by 14. Packers covering the spread. But we're looking forward to week 13, though. Lots of potential close matchups here for week 13. And I just want to – let's just go down the line right now. And I'm going to tell you who I think is going to win. I'm not going to go into spreads or anything, but I don't know. I haven't really looked at it. But I'm just going to tell you who I think is going to win. Steelers-Browns, Thursday night. Yeah, so we're just going to go through these games, and we're going to see just, like, what I'm feeling with. Like, you know, just kind of gut reaction here. So don't hold me. I mean, I might lose every game right here. So fade me. This actually might be a good opportunity, if you're listening to this, take every opposite pick that I pick, and you might be a millionaire. Steelers-Browns. Man, I'm not going to go against Tomlin here. You know, underdogs in this game, 4.5 favorites for Browns. But, you know, Steelers Thursday night, Trubisky. Oh, we're going Steelers, baby. Browns just blown it to the Jets. No mojo there. Steelers. Texans-Bears. Bears 2.5 in this. Texans still looking for that first win. This game's going to be just so close. But I'm going to go Bear. I'm going to Bear down because I'm not going to go against the Bears. You can't go against your home team, even if it, like, kills you. I mean, not that I'm, like, looking at this, I'm like, oh, Texans, but, like, definitely value in the Texans here for sure. Raiders-Titans, both 0-2 here. Wow. This is a game where this is like a playoff game right here. We're gonna go Raiders, though. I think the Titans are frauds. Raiders have had a couple, you know, tough games. I feel like Derek Carr on the road. It's sloppy. It's gross. It's gonna be a dog fight. But I think Titans look bad. They're in shambles. Raiders, they look good. They just blew it. You know, Kyler Murray took over. I like the Raiders in this. Chiefs-Colts. Oh, man. You know, every ounce of my body is telling me that the Chiefs are going to win this game. And I'm going to stick with it. I'm not picking the Colts to win. I think it's definitely a potential trap. You know, I think it definitely is a trap. But when you're telling me you're going to bet against Mahomes, he looked great on Thursday. He figured it out second half against the Chargers. No, Chiefs are winning this game over the Colts. Bills-Dolphins. Oh, man. What is this, the Super Bowl? Might be the Super Bowl here. Buffalo Bills, 5.5-point favorites on the road. I'm not betting against Josh Allen. I saw what he did yesterday against the Titans. And the Dolphins have been great. I mean, he took a miracle comeback. That's another game I didn't go into. Fin up in Miami right now. Dolphins, huge win over the Ravens yesterday in week two. I mean, oh my God. Ravens, huge lead. Dolphins all the way back. Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, Tua, fins are up. But it's Josh Allen. I'm taking the Bills in this one. I mean, I'm rooting for the Dolphins here, but if you ask me who I'm going to take, I'm taking the Bills. Lions-Vikings. Vikings, classic. That's another one. I didn't get to, you know, primetime Kirk last night against the Eagles. Eagles are so back. Jalen Hurts, insane last night against the Vikings. Making the Vikings look like mincemeat. But in the Lions, who took down the Commanders, look great. So, you know, I think I'm going to go hard knocks, and I'm going to take the Lions because the Vikings are frauds right now. They have Justin Jefferson, the best player in the world, but they have Kirk Cousins, who I think is a fraud. So Lions here, huge upset for Detroit. But they know Minnesota well. I feel like they're going to come to play. Ravens-Patriots. Wow. This game just toss-up. I don't know, but I'm not betting against Lamar. Sorry, Cole. But I wouldn't take the -3. I mean, if I were to take the spread, I'd probably take Pats at home. But I'm going Ravens here. I think it's going to be a gross, sloppy game, though. I'm worried for my fantasy team here. Bengals-Jets. This is the game. This is a game that you circle on your calendar. For Survivor Week 3, we are going Bengals. It's disgusting. I don't want to make this pick. But you're going to sit here and tell me right now that Joe Burrow and the Bengals, who might be frauds this year, they maybe don't have it in them to go back to the playoffs, but they still have Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Burrow, Mixon. They're not going to go 0-3 against the Jets, who had literally had a less than 1% chance to beat the Browns last week. Because now, of course, everyone's like, the Jets are back. Yeah, and Garrett Wilson was a fucking boss. Joe Flacco was great, but I'm not taking them to beat the Bengals. The Bengals are not going 0-3, and they're not going to do it against the Jets. I'm taking the Bengals in this one. The spread's 4.5. It looks scary, but I don't need the spread. I just need them to win. You know, Survivor is all money lines, so Bengals are going to win this game. You know, so it's just the way it's going to have to be. Bengals, Bengals, Bengals. Eagles, Commanders. Interesting game here. Definitely rivals here. Definitely could be a trap for the Eagles here. Commanders at home. Carson Wentz, old team. Might have to go for the Commanders here. Eagles are due for a loss. Like, they looked untouchable last night in primetime, but at the Commanders seems like a trap to me. I'm taking the Commanders. Gross. But fly, Eagles, fly. I love the Eagles. You know, I would not be mad if they did something because they're a fun team. Saints, Panthers. Gross. Gross, gross, gross. We're going Panthers at home here. 0-2. They don't want to go 0-3. I'm taking them. That's it. Saints don't look that good. Jameis sucks. No Kamara so far. Panthers. And I said I want, and I'm not touching this game, but I'm going through each game here. So Rams, Cardinals. Oh man. Toss up of the year here. Rams. Fuck it. We're going Rams. I think they get it done. But I mean, -3.5 in the road to Arizona, that seems like a death trap. But I'm gonna go Rams. I think they're due to have like one game all the way through where they just pound it out. But you know, Murray could be super confident after that last win, so that's a danger. Just sit back and watch that game. Or take the Cardinals out, like spread or something. I don't know, but I'm going Rams. Falcons, Seahawks. Oh, gotta go Falcons here. 0-2. They've looked good. They're so due for a win. Falcons in this one. Seahawks are trash. They had a lucky, I think Broncos just didn't have figured out week one. I think the Seahawks are frauds for sure. Falcons. That's gross though. Packers, Bucks. At Tampa Bay. Packers just coming off a nice win against the Bears. You know, I'm gonna go Pack in this one. You know, everyone's gonna take the Bucks probably. Packers, you know, definitely Aaron Rodgers figures it out by week three. They're gonna have some sort of, you know, that's gonna be a great game. Packers, Bucks. I'm going Packers, not going against Matt Ike. Niners, Broncos, Sunday night game. God, that's gross. We're gonna go Denver. We're gonna go, you know, let it ride, Denver. I think it's 1.5 San Francisco. So Denver's home dogs. But, you know, Bronco country, fuck it. Let's go Broncos. And then Cowboys, Giants. Dallas actually looked great with Cooper Rush. I think the Giants are frauds. I think they're better than what they usually are. But, it's so gross. But we're going to go Cowboys. Cooper Rush, baby. Let's get her done against the gross Giants team. My flick of the week this week, I'm taking it to an HBO classic, something that I just got back into, you know, one of those shows that I watched a couple seasons, it was good, just, I don't know why I didn't keep watching, Entourage. Entourage on HBO, you know, I was singing it earlier, oh yeah, that's the theme song, you know, it's so catchy, but we're going Entourage. It's about just living in the city in L.A., Vinny Chase trying to be a movie star. You got his gang with him. They're just living off Vinny. But also, you know, you got E, who's the manager, your best friend. So, becomes a producer. It's a great show. Great show to just turn on before you go to bed. 20-minute episodes. There's 8 seasons or so. You're just going to fly through it. So Entourage, HBO. I'm sure most of you have already seen it or at least started it, continue it, I guarantee you won't put it down.
The bet of the week this week, we're taking it to the MLB tonight. Seattle Mariners, -210 on the road at Oakland. I like the Mariners to get a dub. I don't like taking spreads, though, so I'm going to throw Luis Castillo over 6.5 Ks as well. His original line is 7.5, watered it down to 6.5, so he has to get 7 strikeouts. Mariners got to win. He's hit this in his last 6 out of 8 games. Mariners just won 9-1 yesterday against the Angels. Looked good. I think the Mariners, you know, who need to keep winning games are going to get it done in Oakland tonight, 8:40 start. So Luis Castillo over 6.5 Ks, Mariners money line +110. Let's get after it. It is now time for my favorite segment on the pod. It's just a segment that really hits home. It's a league of gentlemen that seem to understand each other inside and out. The Fichtner Fantasy League of Champions. If only, you know, if I could add like an applause, you know, so some sort of applause emoji at the end of that, that'd just be sexy. Not that advanced yet on the pod. Maybe one day I'll have the opportunity. But big week in fantasy. Might have been a gross slate. But there's just a lot of narrative in this segment today from the Fichtner League. So last week, a member of the league, Nick Pastujovic, big ticket review. Right, love that man. Best name, literally gets a nickname from math class, because there was an assignment that was called the Big Ticket Review, and he was just, I don't know what it was, I don't know how it got to that point, but he is Big Ticket, and he's just kind of known as Ticket now, just Ticket. Besides that, you know, comes out with the first ever rebuttal pod, and it wasn't so much a pod, it was a rebuttal power rankings, in protest to RMT's week one rankings, maybe from last year's rankings, and I have to give him credit. It was a very thought out pod. I definitely, you know, he has that tone where he's funny. He's very funny, right? He knows what he's talking about. Likes to, you know, he knows how to put the narrative in Big Ticket's perspective. You know, he is the Fox News, right? That's what he claims. I don't know if RMT CNN. That's what he claims. It's a little political. Right, I definitely want to keep politics out of this. I don't give a fuck about those. I just care about, just give me. I'm fantasy. That's what I am. I'm fantasy news. Right, I'm definitely in the middle of those. But it right, comes out with a rebuttal pod with his own rankings. Kind of a shots thrown at RMT there. You know, kind of was able to, you know, he figured it out though. He figured out that if you make, you know, your own pod, you can speak freely because it's yours. So that's also the best thing I've ever seen, because instead of arguing with where he thinks he should be, he comes out with his own rankings, speaks freely for 12 minutes, right? I think that's what it was. That's perfect. That is great for content, because you know what? RMT was feeling lonely out here. It's just been RMT. But, you know, now we have somebody else. Now we have a new competition, a man in Vegas that's on a mission, and we love that. But, right, if I remember clearly, you know, I believe the quote was, oh, Riddle versus Lebo. Right, he circled that matchup. I was waiting for him to, you know, for that matchup. I was listening through. I wanted to hear what he had to say, and there it was, Riddle Lebo matchup. Oh, Riddle got lucky last week. You know, RMT played a team that was down 3 guys. Like it's RMT's fault that, you know, that Vegas can't keep his boys healthy. Right, I guess he'll boast about a win. Beating a team with 300 players, that's fine, he can do so, quote. Then goes into our matchup with Lebo and quotes, oh, well, now it's RMT against Lebo. I would love, you know, it's hard for me to see him do that again. You know, definitely writing RMT off immediately. And that is all the motivation we need. Because going into the week two results, we're going to start with Riddle's Revenge Tour decapitating the Poon Chasers. About that action, whatever you want to call it. I'm sorry, Lebo, I love you, but we're going right into Riddle's Revenge Tour 151-94. Leading the league in points. Right? This might be the ultimate announcer jinx that you can have boasting about your team first on a podcast. But I have been waiting for this for a week. You let the play do the talking and then you go on the pod. Lebo starts out Thursday night, Justin Herbert 23, Mike Williams 21, and I'm like, oh boy, are we in trouble? But we fight back with a Lamar Jackson, 42, 318 yards, 4 touchdowns, using his own player against him. And don't even mention a little Jalen Waddle doing his dance. 11 receptions, 171 yards, 2 tutties, 34 points. So right there, Lamar and Waddle almost, you know, almost have half my points. Right? But then we go to a little, I'm going to take it to the London. Start Drake London over Brandon Cooks. Give me a 20 spot in the flex. A little Carlson for 13. Green Bay D10. Didn't even need Leonard, Jeff Wilson, or Jamar. 151-94. And that's a wrap. So that's all I'm going to say there. Right about that. That's how you quiet down a crowd. Right? But that's just a punch thrown in our little Reance rivalry here, Big Ticket and Riddle's Revenge Tour. I love it. You know, because now it keeps you honest. You have to perform each week in this league, right? It's no one cares about what you did last week. It's all about what the week lies in front of you. So we're not done yet. But boy, if that's not a rebuttal, I don't know what is. We're then going to go into the next matchup here. You know, speaking of Big Ticket review. Able to get it done against the commissioner. Now, this is a matchup here where, you know, commissioner comes off a huge week one. He's horny, right? Playing a Vegas team that is coming off a loss to RMT that's definitely trying to – he needs a win. He needs a win bad. He cannot go 0-2. And I give him credit. Dan Fernandez, Vegas Sun, 111-110 win against commissioner. But there's so much conspiracy in this matchup as the commissioner thought it'd be funny – to start Harrison Butker on Thursday night, who was ruled out a day before the game. Like, there was no way he was going to play. He literally was hurt in the last game. Like, you could see it. Like, he had to leave the game. Decides to start him anyway. So, basically, he's playing down a kicker. Still almost wins. Right? But Stephon Diggs did his fucking dance last night. 38 points, 3 touchdowns. I mean, you can't say anything to that. That's a huge win for Big Ticket there. Against the commish, who really just, I guess, isn't taking this league seriously. You know, ironically enough, in the group chat a couple weeks ago, he said, you know, that he was salty that no one takes it as seriously as him. Well, you're last in my book now, commish. That's just disappointing right there. I'm speechless. I would never make that mistake. I don't think anyone would make that mistake. I don't know if he was trying to make a point, right? He thinks it's funny. I mean, do you take this league seriously? Next matchup here, real tough one here. This one hits home. As all of you know, my love for Cough Daddy. You know, my apparent hard-on for Cough Daddy. Even if that may be so, taking a rough L to Big Sam here, 103-100. He said it before the matchup. He has a tough time playing Big Sam. It's just one of those things where Big Sam always finds a way against Cough Daddy. You know, Mahomes and Eckler combining for 30, that's not going to get done for Kopp. Zeke for 5, Devontae not showing up. Waller, you know, it's bad when Michael Thomas and Waller are pretty much your go-to guys, you know, 15 and 14. Cincy D for 3, McPherson Daddy right up there. But the real moment of the game here was Tyreek Hill's 2 touchdowns. I mean, that's 36 points for Tyreek. He literally had nothing at halftime, so that's a tough break for Kopp Daddy. Especially with Jonathan Taylor and Akers only combining for 13 for Kuhn. Bears D2. Mike Evans 7. Hawkinson 4. Amari Cooper for 20 is huge. Russell Wilson 11. I don't know how Kuhn won this. It's ugly. So not the best look for Cough Daddy here. He knows it. right? But, you know, that's definitely a wake-up call. You don't want to be 0-1. You definitely don't want to be 0-2. That's a lot of work to do in Cough Daddyville. But as I said, it's only week three. You just need one win to get yourself back. The barely legals in Liam's tent, just a blowout here. The legals 131-86 over the tents. Tents apparently have not found their locker room. The tent must have deflated, gone or flooded. I don't know what's going on in Liam Tentville. 86 points, you know, Thielen at 7 in the flex, Jerry Jeudy with 1, Dawson Knox for 6, Indy D 0. It's all about the running backs, though, for the legals. Aaron Jones, 30, Nick Chubb, 30. Higbee, a nice 10 at the tight end. Joe Burrow, still got 16. But those running backs, if they go off like that, it's going to be a good year for the legals. Huge bounce back win after a first week tough loss to Nato, but Klein Hands, as he is, he's pesky, man. He loses once. You think he's out of it? He drops 3 in a row. So never count Klein Hands out. Huge bounce back win. Liam's tent. Definitely just going to have to figure that one out. Don't know what's going on over there. And then the last matchup here, our number 1 and 2 teams going at it. It was the Tiny Tatas, a personal matchup here. The 143-102, a blowout win. Holman was, but so this was another big controversy last week too, in the rebuttal pod. Pastuovic had, or Big Ticket, I should say, had Minneapolis at 1, the commissioner at 2, Holman at 3, who I've had 1 the whole year, 140 again. So I think RMT had that one correct. He's going to stay at number 1 this week, as he should. Kind of opening up the power rankings right here. We're gonna go from the top this time, from 1 to 10, starting with the preseason number 1 to week 3 number 1, Ethan Holman, the Tiny Tatas, beating the number 2 team in Minneapolis, Mike Caputo's, proving that Holman belongs at the number 1 seed. It's tough to be at number 1 for too long, but Holman holding on with ease so far this season. At number 2, we have Minneapolis, Mike Caputo's. The only, you know, he's 1-1, but the one loss being to the number 1 team who put up the second most points this week. Not the best week for the Caputo's. Saquon and Stevenson not doing anything, but I love, you know, he had to put Joshua Palmer in for Davis. He had Davis and Kamara out. So tough week with injuries. I think even with those guys, Tata still gets it done with the 140 spot. But I'm not worried about the Caputos. They had a great week 1. One loss to the number 1 team in the league so far is not going to kill you. So Minneapolis keeping his name at number 2, right where he wants to be, I'd say. At number 3, we have someone that was at number 5 last week, moving up 2 spots, and that's RMT himself. Putting himself last to start the year, now moving up to number 3. Definitely the biggest the climb so far. I started myself last because I didn't know what to expect, but after 2 weeks, I'll take number 3. At number 4, we have someone that dropped to number 7 last week in the rankings, but crawling all the way back up to number 4, we have Mr. Barely Legals, Matthew Kleinhans. A huge bounce back win, putting up 130 this week, third most points in the league. He needed that because, you know what, first 2 weeks, if you have a dud and you make it up in the second week, you know, all is well because you're, all right, you know, Aaron Rodgers always has a dud week 1, right? So it's okay. I like his team. I think he belongs at the number 4 spot. Huge bounce back week for Kleinhans, 1-1 so far this year. And number 5, we have someone that was dropped 1 spot this week. He was number 4 last week. Mr. Luke Liebert. Great week 1. Yungulin Racers, Poon Racers, Poon Chasers, Sue Coon. But rough week 2, so start off great, really fell flat towards the end. But he's still going to stay, you know, he's only going to drop 1 spot. You know, he's 1-1. Lost to a tough RMT team last week, came to play. I like Lebo's team. He's going to stay at number 5. He's going to drop 1 spot. At number 6, Someone that dropped three spots in the power rankings this week. Was that number three? But after just not starting a kicker and just losing in horrific fashion, you got to drop. I mean, that's just disrespectful towards the league. You got to earn your way back. The commissioner. You know, no more comments at this time, but the commissioner's dropping three spots. He's got to prove to us, right, that he cares about this league. You know, for someone that hasn't won, right, to question everybody else's, you know, faith to the league, it's just unacceptable. And number seven, you know, as one once said in a rebuttal pod, I can't be biased. You know, I gotta give respect when respect is due. And that is Big Ticket. You know, putting him last week, you know, definitely lit a fire in him. I didn't know if he could be able to get it done this week, but he did. He proved, you know, he got a dub when he needed it, and you gotta respect that. Three spots in the rankings. Nick Pastuovic at number seven at 1-1. I give credit. You know, we're not sure if we're gonna get another rebuttal pod this week. You know, we might. I mean, he's only made one so far. Usually make a few of those, but we'll see. You know, we'll call him response, cat and mouse type game. But you know, giving you props, Pastuovic, three spots up in the power rankings. If that's not respect, I don't know what is. At number eight, we have someone that was at nine last week, got a big dub. Don't know if he was watching. You know, I saw he was at a lake on Snapchat. I don't know, you know, maybe he had the games on the phone. I highly doubt it. But we got Big Sam with a huge win over Coughlin, moving him up to number eight, putting Cough Daddy at number nine, dropping from six to nine, three spots in the wrong direction. But as I said, we're 2 weeks in. You don't want to be 0-1. You don't want to be 0-2. You definitely don't want to be 0-3. So we'll see if Coughlin can get a dub next week to put himself back in contention in the playoffs. But at number 10, we have someone that just can't seem to find the right tent. And that's Liam's tent. Right? Maybe is Liam's tent the answer, Nasser? Right? Maybe Liam just has too much going on in his tent. Right? Maybe you need to find a new tent. Not blaming Liam. Liam's there to help. Have you given Liam that phone call yet? Right? I think he's waiting for that phone call to deliberate, you know, what's going on in that locker room. Because there needs to be a chat. It needs to be quick before the season runs out of hand. Oh, there's still time to do that, but at number 10, we have Liam's tent. This takes us into our predictions for week three here. We're going to go right into it. I'm going to give you my predictions, who I think is going to win. And then we'll be on our way. First game, we have the Barely Legals and Dan Fornato's Vegas Sun, Nick Pastuovic. Gonna have to take the Legals in this one. Legals, after a win, they're streaky. I like, you know, they had a dud week one. I like them, you know, coming back strong week two. I'm taking the Legals in this one. I think just too much firepower on the road against a Vegas team that had a nice win. Can he make it two in a row? We're taking the Legals. The Tiny Tatas and Liam's tent. This just screams trap written all over it. Right? You have the number one versus the number 10 team here. On the road at the tents. You know, I'm going to get gross here. I'm going to take the tents. I think the tents, you never want to play an 0-2 team on their home turf. Tatas are due for a blank. I'm taking the tents in this one. I think it's going to be gross, but I think the tents get it done. Get on the board. Minneapolis Mike Caputo is taking on Team Cough Daddy. Another trap here, I feel like. You know, Minneapolis, great week one, not so great week two. Cough Daddy needs a win at home. Protected 115 here. I'm taking Team Cough Daddy at home. I'm taking it as a pick 'em. You know, home dogs. I think Cough Daddy gets it done, finds a win. I think Liam's 10 and Cough Daddy both find a win to get out of the gutters to go 1-2. Yuengling Poon Chasers, Luke Lebo taking on the commish. Pretty much literally a pick 'em. It's 109.1 to 109.2. I'm taking Lebo in this matchup though. I feel like the commissioner, you know, he's so worried about people knowing that he cares about this league that he forgot to start a kicker. It's unacceptable. I'm taking Lebo in this matchup. Show me what you got, commissioner. I don't think you got the balls. And the last matchup here, we have RMT's Revenge Tour taking on Big Sam. Big Sam coming off a huge win against Cough Daddy. I like RMT in this matchup. I can't lie. You know, usually Big Sam can give us trouble as well. But I think he can't come in the Wilden twice and get it done. I'm taking RMT at home and the points. I think RMT just too much going right now for Big Sam to handle. That's all the time we have today on the Riddle Me That podcast. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Big week of college football, big week of NFL coming up. Gross week last week. We're turning the script, though. We're getting after it this weekend. Find a game. Find a bar. Sky Too Hottie, where are you at, boy? I'll see you this weekend. Riddle Daddy's out. Love you all.